You know, going into the game yesterday, we knew it was going to be a hard-fought battle. Anytime you play NFC South game, it's going to be that way. We talk about starting fast, and yesterday we really didn't do that. We had a three and out and gave up a scoring drive and ended up behind in the scoreboard 7-0 right off the bat. After looking at the tape, there's a lot of things that we can get better at. We have a bunch of areas that we can improve on. The guys are off today. They'll be back in here tomorrow. We'll start our preparation for Washington on Wednesday. We're going to be playing our second consecutive conference game. They had a very good win on the road last week against Tampa. So with that, I'll open it up for questions. And since you're here, Daryl,
all right.
You got us.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Could you talk about some of the smaller plays in the game with, regards to Abe saving Samuel from the fight and the guys looking out for each other when they're out on the field? It looked like him and Steve Smith were getting ready to.
Yep. Steve's a very competitive guy, and Asante's a very competitive guy, and we were able to defuse that, and Abe did a very nice job of doing that. We did not want to get the thing to go in the wrong direction. So it was good that Abe came to Asante's side there.
What does that say about the guys looking out for each other out there in the heat of
Well,
the battle?
I think it says a lot about our football team. We're a very close-knit group, and when we get out there, we're gonna go out there and compete, and it's a very competitive atmosphere. And you've got to make sure that you take care of one another, and that's what I think took place yesterday.
Did you talk about Matt? And it's a lot there. The 17 comebacks, the offense is going quicker. You got a screen pass now, obviously. Could you talk about bringing that all together and how he's done a job, a good job, I guess, of leading that whole unit in the change this year.
Well, Matt's done a very good job through the first four games. I think the first three games he was very, very sharp, and I think he did a nice job there at the end. Like I mentioned, we didn't have a fast start, but we had a great finish, and that's something that as a team that we want to emphasize, not only starting fast but finishing. I've mentioned before, finishing everything we do. That means finishing plays, finishing quarters, finishing series. Finishing games, and I think we'll like where we're at if we continue to have good starts and good finishes.
Coach, offensive line kind of a mixed bag, and Mike Turner gets his first 100-yard game. He ran the ball pretty well, but a lot of protection issues. What was going on?
Yeah, John, when you talk about protection of the quarterback in the passing game, the first thing everybody wants to do is point the finger at the offensive line, and that's not necessarily always the case. There are a lot of factors that go into protecting the quarterback. The backs, the tight ends, the receivers, whether they run the right breakoff routes, and the quarterback. So we gave up way too many sacks in the game yesterday, but they all weren't on the offensive line. I can assure you that. It was an effort that everybody was a part of.
Right, said something yesterday.
Well, Roddy was probably alluding to the fact that there are times that when they don't break the route off, that the quarterback is going to be left with nowhere to go with it and have to eat it. And that happened a couple times in the game yesterday. But we've got to shore up our pass protection. I thought it was an impressive job with our run blocking. John, the guys did a nice job. We got Michael going north and south. And he did a great job in yards after contact.
Seems inconceivable that four games into the season you could have a three-game lead in the division. How strange is that to see this one?
Well, I'm aware of it, but I don't pay attention to it. This early in the season, you've got to concern yourself with your team. You don't even think about what's going on with the other teams until you're getting ready to play them. So I'm familiar with I'm familiar with what Washington did yesterday, but we've started out fast, and it's just a start. The guys have worked hard, but When we meet on Wednesday, the thing we'll be talking about, we'll be talking about the start of the second quarter of the season. The first quarter, you know, is behind us, and we're moving on to the next, you know, the next mission.
Cam Newton had a lot of big plays against your pass defense and pass rush. Worried about trying to amp that up, especially with Robert Griffin III coming up next.
Yeah, we gave up way too many explosive plays in the ball game yesterday. We only gave up 205 yards, total yards passing, but there were three explosive passes, and we had nine explosive runs in the ball game yesterday. Those are plays that we talk about of being 20 yards or more. We've got to try to eliminate those explosive plays. They're part of the toxic differential when you look at how you play offense and defense together. And we've got to do a better job. We can't give up those explosive plays. They did a nice job creating them. Some of them were short passes in the passing game. The couple of them, the screen pass comes to mind when we didn't play that as well as we needed to. And then, of course, the first touchdown pass there in the red zone, we didn't play as well as we'd like to.
Mike Turner had the huge play with the screen pass, but it seemed like he dropped a couple others over. How would you say he's doing with that adjustment?
I think he did a nice job. I think one of the drops was a legitimate drop, if you watch it and replay it. And then the other one was probably not one that you would give him a drop. And, again, those are very subjective in how you look at them. It's kind of like, as I've mentioned before, some guys like red cars, some guys like yellow cars. When you're grading drops, it just really depends on sometimes – who's watching it, or the outcome of the game. You know, sometimes coupled with a win, they're not drops.
Coach, you talk a lot about the splitting the season into quarters. What's the desired effect on your team's mentality by breaking up the season into
quarters? Well, I think that you've got to have focus on the task at hand first and foremost, and that's the next game. But I think it's also important for you to have some vision down the road. But I don't want you to get too far down the road, but I think you can put an emphasis on it. For example, this first quarter that we just finished, when we talked about it, we knew that we were only going to play one division game, one conference game, and we had three games outside of the division. We're going to really get into the meat of our schedule in three and four. Number two, we're going to play this quarter that we're coming into now, we're going to play three NFC East teams and finish off the AFC West, and then really the second half of the season. So you kind of compartmentalize them and present them to the team at the start of the season where they have an idea of what's taking place in each quarter.
Smitty, you've used the theories that you've been here about these quarters. Where did you – is that something you just picked up along the way?
Something that actually from our days in Baltimore with Brian Billick, that's something that he did, and I think it allows you to – guys are going to look ahead. It's just human nature. You're going to look ahead, but you want to have it where they don't get too far ahead of themselves. And breaking it up by quarters, it gives an emphasis point, as I just mentioned.
Of course, the difference between Griffin and Cam, obviously a bigger guy than Cam, but the mobility, and is that kind of not easier, but the fact that you just prepared for that last week, you've got two in a row?
Well, I think we've got an idea of what worked and what didn't work. And we're going to be facing a very similar offense. Robert Griffin III is not nearly as big. I think he's got more foot speed than the quarterback that we just played. So we're going to have some different issues. And again, we've already started evaluating what we're going to do against the Washington Redskins. Early this morning, since the players were off, we were able to get a jump on it.
The decision to play Robert McClain at the nickel?
Yeah, Robert McClain was the corner that we kept on our roster originally with the 53-man roster, and then we made a roster move to come back and bring back Dom Franks. Robert had not had a whole lot of snaps. Dom had more snaps, and we have let those guys basically compete over the last couple of weeks. And we felt like Robert had a really good week of practice. We wanted to give him an opportunity to playing the nickel, and I thought that he handled it for the first time fairly well, did a nice job. And again, we're hoping to have our nickel that started the season back this week as we, you know, there's your nugget. we're hoping to have him back this week. He will be practicing tomorrow. So we'll have, you know, some competition going on at the nickelback position as we prepare for the game this week.
Coach, that last minute of the game, yeah, as you're watching it on TV and you probably have watched the tape, it was a lot of emotion. The offense is off the field, so you had to rely on your third leg, so to speak, as you say often. You got to have all three cylinders working. How emotional was that for you? They tell me that it was pretty hot on the sideline there.
Well, I tell you that when you're out there for the 2 hours and 45 to 3 hours and 25 minutes, it's not a whole lot of fun. It's fun, but there's a lot of pressure out there. But that's what we've signed up for, and I thought our guys handled it very well. We've got some things that we've got to do better. I've got things that I've got to do better in terms of managing the end of the game. And there's things that we have to do as a team, players. And it was something that we all are going to learn, from, in terms of what we've got to improve on. Not just players making plays. Hey, coaches got to do what they're supposed to do. I've got to do what I've got to do. And, we're all in this together.
There was something between you and the assistant coaches? Or?
There was, there was something that happened, and it was in the heat of the battle. And, I've had a conversation with Coach Hamilton. We were trying to get 11 guys on the field. We only had 10 guys out there on the field. And one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to have our team at a disadvantage before the snap. And we were trying to make sure that we handled that situation. We were able to get 11 people out there on the field. I try to be 100%. I wasn't 100% yesterday. And, I got to do better. I got to be better.
The loudest cheer, again, on TV, was from the poor quarterback whose game was out of his hands at that point. But if you looked at his face, it was almost like he was on the field. Talk about that and his work this year to continue to take the team where...
You're talking about Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt. Matt is a very emotional football player. We want to be very focused during the week in our preparation. It's important for us to be focused. And then when you kick that game off, it's all about emotion. The team has to have passion and emotion. And our leader on our football team is Matt Ryan. And he was very emotional because that was quite a finish. I don't know that it's happened in a long time in the National Football League to start the ball on the 2 yard line and have a winning drive. It doesn't happen very often with no timeouts.
Did you talk about Holly and Johnson and the role they played yesterday and see that increasing going forward?
The role of Joe Holly, of course, we were light in the fullback position. So we tried to create a role. We had to create a role. Somebody had to line up at the fullback position, and we put a little package in there together, with sometimes with just Joe in there, sometimes with Joe and Mike. And I thought it was a very nice package that the offensive staff put together. I thought strategically it was something that gave us an advantage in the ball game, especially early on because of the matching of personnel groupings. It was a different personnel grouping.
And just back to the pass protection, are you saying that, hey, there might have been times where the routes were covered and he had to hold it longer than...
Again, I don't want to get into all the specifics, but there's more than just the five offensive linemen that are responsible for pass protection. And when we don't protect the passer, the first group that gets scrutinized is the offensive line. The running backs, the tight ends, the wide receiver, and the quarterbacks are all part of the success that we have or the success that we don't have in terms of protecting the quarterback.
You
And every group was a part of us not having the protection that we needed.
To get back to getting that 11th man on the field, you guys go over like every
conceivable. Oh, we go over every conceivable. There's no doubt about
but
that.
And it including, when you don't have one.
Well, you want it, you're going to try whatever you want, whatever you can do at that point in time, yes. And we were able to get an 11th guy out there. The one thing that you did not want to do, you don't want to go out there at a disadvantage before the ball is snapped. And we were able to get an 11th guy out there.
Do you think the competition committee might revisit that
one? I don't know.
Can you talk about Abe's play, not only rushing, but he seemed like he had a key role in the zone read dives. I saw the ends crashing.
Our defensive ends, I thought, did a nice job. I thought John Abraham had a good game. He put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That was a big sack there at the end of the ball game. And again, when you're playing a running quarterback, you have to account for him. And there were often times that the guy that was assigned to account for him was the defensive end.
You won with replacement referees, and now you've won with regular referees. When you broke the film down, did you do a play count on the referees at all? What did you think? this week versus the previous one?
We do an evaluation of our officials. We evaluate the officials just like we evaluate our opponent. We've got 6 years of data on what officials call. When we get a crew, we'll know, you know, where they rank in terms of how many penalties are called per game. We know what officials call what calls. We do our due diligence, and I think it's important that you have to do that. So you try to basically uncover every bit of information that you can get about giving yourself an advantage to win.
So how did they do this week, last week or before?
Again, we don't concern ourselves necessarily with whether they're the replacements or the regular officials. We don't control that. But I thought that it was a well-called game. I think we had three penalties. Two of them were accepted. I think we're the number one team in the NFL now with in terms of penalties called against us. And that's something that we pride ourselves on. We want to do a very good job in being the least penalized team in the NFL.
That's something new. Mm-hmm. In previous years, you've been pretty high on that, right?
No, actually, the first 3 years we were in the top five. Last year we fell to number 10. This year we're trending where we would like to be trending.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.